Welcome everyone. We are joined in God's Spirit, we rejoice in God's Spirit, and we worship and pray in God's Spirit. We have had a good week in the charity shop, but a little slow in the cafe, and the weather was sunny but windy, although on Friday the wind dropped and it started to feel a bit like summer was on its way. Friday, Elsie and I celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary with some cake and chocolates for our cafe customers. We have both had a rotten cold all week, but have managed to carry on as usual. Eleanor has been poorly all week, and Stuart is still looking after Johanna, who is still unwell. So our thanks to Kathy and Graham and Margaret, who helped out this week. We continue to pray for all those we know who are struggling with their health. Well, the King has been in the news this week with his trip to America. But of course, the real King of our lives is King Jesus. And so we come once again to bring our praise and thanks to the King, the Lord. Let all the earth rejoice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Let's sing, how great is our God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 31 we read, In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Praise be to the Lord, for he has shown his wonderful love to me. Amen. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we feel that everyone is out to get us? Reading today's psalm, we can see that this isn't a new feeling. If we feel isolated, oppressed, or that someone is really out to get us, suddenly the words of the psalm leap off the page and give us words to pray. Our lives are in God's hands. We are people of God. Sometimes we are able to make choices that we hope will help us walk more closely with him. At other times we seem to be far from God, on the wrong side of a hostile crowd. But we matter to God. He knows what we need, and we shall be saved. Remember the words of the psalmist, Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. So let's sing, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. as we journey towards Pentecost, we begin a new overall theme. You are a chosen people. We are still, of course, in the Easter season. In fact, today is Easter 5 in the Christian calendar. So we, like the first disciples, are using this time to look at all that Jesus said was to happen in preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fire of Pentecost. Remember the familiar words that Jesus spoke when he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." He told the disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them, and they said they would not. And he said that they would know where he was going. Thomas spoke up for the rest when he said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus answered again in familiar words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way to God lies in the knowledge of the truth about Jesus and in the experience of his life among us, both then and now, and our life lived in Jesus Christ. For the Apostle Peter writes, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Our response just has to be, we want to know Jesus. We want to remain in Jesus. We want to be saved. We want to be one of his chosen people. And the answer to all those requests is just so positive when we follow Jesus, who is the only way and the only truth and the only life. So today, our theme is, you are people of God. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that we are a chosen people, chosen by you and loved by you. And you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Father, you teach us the true meaning of parenthood and care. As Jesus, you show us what it is to love and forgive. As the Spirit, you breathe life into us so we can be children of God. We come now to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, we love to sing your praises. We're so glad that you're in our lives. We're so glad that you came to save us. Lord, we lift your name on high. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the rock of our lives. Your strength sustains us. Your power supports us. Your mercy brings forgiveness to us. We are your people. We come to you in adoration, praising you that our whole life is held in your hands. Our whole life is sustained, protected by you. Here in your grace and your grace alone we stand. We stand in a place of refuge and safety, a place where you listen to us, a place you have created for us to be. To you we commit ourselves, not just this day, but all our days, for all our days are in your hands. Lord, fill each of us with hope as we wait on you this day, that we might be built up and be strong, and know that we are a chosen people, that we are the people of God. Lord, we bring our praise and our worship. We honour you with music as we sing. But Lord, when the music fades, when all is stripped away, you are still there, for you're looking into our hearts, hearts that you have cleansed from our sinful nature, because the power of sin that tries to dominate us has been destroyed through what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through the resurrection. Lord, by your calling we are made holy. Yet we know that we do not live up to this holy calling. Forgive us, Lord, that we have strayed from your way. Forgive us for the times our lives have not been shaped by your truth. Forgive us for denying your life in us by the way we have lived. In the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, let us today confess together our sins. Please join in with the prayer on the song sheet. Loving God, we have sinned against you in what we have thought, said, and done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbour as ourselves. We are truly sorry and turn away from what is wrong. Forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and forgiveness. Amen. So let's sing Before the Throne of God Above.
My name is Ray.
Let us pray. Lord, you say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. So, Lord, we bring before you what is on our hearts today. We bring to you the places in our world where the darkness of war casts its shadow over people's lives. We pray today for Ukraine, for the Middle East, for Gaza, for South Sudan, and ask for just and lasting solutions to all long-running conflicts. Give us persistence in prayer and hope in believing that peace will come, and give us trust in your promise that you will make all things new. Lord, we bring to you the change and uncertainty that is all around, feelings of being left behind or unheard, high distrust of leaders, disconnection from politics, and the lack of faith in those who govern us. Lord, save us all from extremes and from the easy answers to complex issues. Show us how we should respond to the anger that simmers in our society. Make us campaigners for a more just world, and may we never disregard the voices of those on the margins. Lord, as elections approach in many areas of our nation, we pray for leadership that is unselfish and dedicated to the good of others, and for an end to the arguments and backbiting that is dominating our government at this time. Lord, we bring before you our struggling health service, postponed appointments and procedures that are causing so much stress in society. And Lord, we pray for all who are in trouble, pain or disease. In the quiet, we name those we know before you and ask for your protection today. Lord, be close to all who suffer and surround them with tender care. May we, your church, be a protecting space for those who are battered by life and a place of healing and hope in a troubled and divided world. Lord, we pray for all who have lost family and friends, that they will take comfort from your promise of eternal life for all who believe. We pray for all who care for their loved ones. Lord, touch everyone with your healing hand. And as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing our pleas and prayers, which we know you will answer in your good time and in your good way. For we know that you are building a people of power, a people of praise, that will move through this land by your Spirit and will glorify your precious name. So, Lord, build your church. Make us strong. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing, for I'm building a people of power.
Power, and I'm making church, Lord, make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in your kingdom of your Son.
So, once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord. And I want to thank you again for all who are tithing. So let us pray. Lord, thank you that we are your people, that we are people of God, chosen by you, loved by you, and equipped by you to be your witnesses here in this world. So Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Amen. So our first scripture reading today is from John's Gospel. This passage offers reassurance to the disciples in what must have been a tense and puzzling time. Belief is the antidote to a troubled heart. And Jesus explains why the disciples can believe and not be troubled. He promises them a place made ready, and in doing so, he touches on the afterlife. Heaven is God's house, a place for the faithful to rest until Jesus' second coming. As with the saying we heard last week, I am the gate. So here Jesus asserts his unique identity as the only one who can enable access to the Father, and explains this by stating that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The way to God lies in the knowledge of the truth about him, and in the experience of Jesus' life. The truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the way because of his relationship with the Father, a relationship which can be ours too through the sacrifice made by Jesus for us. The very life of God himself is available for the whole human race. This new life results from us knowing Jesus, remaining in him, being saved by him. Then by accepting this truth, we are guaranteed a place in heaven. Let's hear now Jesus' own words from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to me except through to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I suppose it must have been very difficult for Jesus' first disciples to take in all that they witnessed and experienced. As I said before, they were taken on such a roller coaster ride of emotions. And now Jesus is saying, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That must have been really hard to take in. But for those who followed, who had not seen Jesus, either before or after his death, it must have been even harder. And as we've seen over the last month, the Apostle Peter was writing to such people, people who were finding life very difficult. They were exiled from their homeland and now find themselves living in an often hostile world. But now they are kept safe in the community of believers and in the hand of God. Through their baptism, they are incorporated into God's forgiven people, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him. Now they are held together by faith in Jesus, one who, like them, knows rejection. And what Peter is saying to them is this, that because Jesus is precious in God's sight, so are they. Therefore, he said, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. And he refers to them as newborn babies in the faith, suggesting that they should be craving for spiritual milk so that they may grow up in their salvation. These wonderful, wonderful reassuring words are speaking to us. So let's hear more of what Peter is saying.
The reading is from First Letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up and in your salvation, now that you have tested that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Peter writes, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Our hope, of course, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We do not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Let's sing Christ Alone, Cornerstone.
Trust the sweetest prayer. but wholly trust in Jesus' name. See when darkness seeks to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ
Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the Apostle Peter writes, once you were not a people, but now you are people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This week, the long-awaited state visit of the King and Queen to the USA has taken place. It has taken place at a time when relations between the UK and the USA have been described as strained. In his historic speech to US Congress, King Charles has called for reconciliation, renewal, and prayer, that the alliance will continue to defend shared values. He is in effect calling for mutual dependence and interrelationship. It's interesting that One of the themes explored by the Apostle Peter in chapter 2 is what it means to be living stones. This too is a theme of mutual dependence and interrelationship, and how this is enabled by God through Christ, who is the cornerstone. Members of a family and members of Christian communities do not always agree, and it can be challenging to coexist peaceably. But the presence of Christ, the cornerstone, holds individuals together. God is worthy of praise for enabling this, but we are also challenged to offer this model more widely in our world. Living stones share a common purpose. Together they bring greater strength. The King calls for reconciliation and renewal between the UK and the USA, so that both nations may be stronger together. Here is a challenge for us to look for opportunities for reconciliation within and between Christian communities. What does King Charles have to offer the general public? Is he going to show mercy by sharing his huge fortune with us? Is he going to turn Buckingham Palace into a boarding house for illegal immigrants? Is he going to advance the Christian faith as the so-called head of the Church of England? Is he going to set an example for family life? He's not done a good job of that so far. Well, I'm sure he won't do any of these things, but he still expects us to all swear allegiance to him. What for, I say? Will he then make us part of the royal family? Okay, he doesn't deserve me or anyone else for that matter having a go like this. But the point I'm trying to make is that our true allegiance can only be to God, the very one who created us, who sustains us, and has promised us all eternal life. Peter writes, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once you were not people, but now you are people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In God's eyes, we are all royalty. We are a chosen people. We are a people of God. And what is more, we are all equal in the sight of God. There are no rankings. No one is singled out for a medal or a knighthood. There are no dignitaries or celebrities. If we accept that Jesus is the Son of God, if we put our trust in God and Jesus, then there is a place in heaven for us, for all of us. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms." All this is made possible for us through the resurrection power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from death, the same Spirit that disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, indeed made a public spectacle of them. So my question is this: why aren't we out there on the streets celebrating the true King of our lives? Why aren't we getting fired up and excited about Jesus? You know, the world is changing before our eyes. Many will claim that we have made huge progress as a human race, and the overriding message of society has been that all of this has been achieved by our own efforts. God hasn't had much of a look in, and many people, hell-bent on indulging once prohibitive lifestyles and behaviours, have claimed God doesn't exist. Many people claim that God is just a figment of the imagination for the needy, a giant fairy in the sky. And so they have legitimise sin, reframing society's values and beliefs to match their own desires. You could actually say that the royal family have been a part of this. Their views have certainly changed since 1936, when Edward VIII was forced to abdicate in order to marry a divorcee. Even the church has become more and more an obedient poodle, desperate to gain acceptance, by giving way to the demands of society and the state. This is so wrong. My heart breaks for the state of our nation, indeed for our world, but worst of all, for the collapse of Christianity in our country. So, what does the Christian faith have to offer? Well, by fully knowing Jesus, by remaining in him, by being saved by him, our lives can be transformed. Indeed, we become a new creation. Because the reality of it is, it's actually not about us. It's about God. It's about Jesus and our becoming totally like him. Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. And from that moment, we are not just the same people. Our strength is in the Lord. And we are guaranteed eternal life. No human ruler can offer that. And remember too, Jesus said, "You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." All we need to do is repent where we've gone astray and ask Jesus to help. Of course, we're not talking about material things, although that might be a spin-off. What we are talking about is help. We are talking about healing of body, mind and spirit. We're talking about help in facing up to situations and even people and that seek to bring us down. We're talking about peace of mind. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about how to live in the face of adversity. We're talking about giving and receiving mercy. We're talking about forgiving and receiving forgiveness. We are talking about the way to live and love as we were created to live and love. Jesus is describing himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And he sets out a role model for relationships which lead ultimately to peace. The way is a faith-filled relationship with God as revealed in Jesus and supported by the Holy Spirit. The truth is that Jesus is the Son of God, a relationship which can be ours too, through the sacrifice made by Jesus for us. The life is found through serving those around us, whether they be in our local community or thousands of miles away across the world. We are all part of a wider community in which we find and offer mutual support. Surely all this has to be something worth celebrating. Surely this is something worth sharing. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these." Our faith is an individual treasure, but it's also one to be shared. My dear friends, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're reminded of this in our closing worship song. Colours of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up and the night is behind. Go down in the city, into the street, and let's give the message to the people we meet. So light up the fire, let the flame burn, open the door, let Jesus return, take seeds of his spirit, let his fruit grow, tell the people of Jesus, let his love show. Go through the park, on into the town, the sun still shines on, it never goes down, the light of the world is risen again, the people of darkness are needing a friend. And that friend is you. You are the people of God. Amen. Let's sing "Light Up the Fire."
Colors of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up.
The night is behind. Go down in the city, into the street, and let's give the message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of His Spirit, let His fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let His love show. Go through the park, on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of God are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of His Spirit, let His fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let His love show. Jesus is living, His Spirit is near. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of His Spirit, let His fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let His love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Return, take seeds of His Spirit, let His fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let His love show.
Take seeds of His Spirit, let His fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let His love show. So go in peace to love, serve and obey the Lord with the blessing of God, whose Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may we always represent You and always show Your love. Help us as a church to represent You wherever we are, whatever we're doing. May we as Your church bring glory to Your name by trusting and following the example of Your Son, Jesus. We lift our hearts to You, offering our prayer and asking Your holy name that Your will be done, as we go in love and peace as people of God to serve You and Your chosen people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.